When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for listening to CarCast on Podcast One.
Hi, this is Ben Domenech, the host of the Federalist Radio Hour. We're a daily show coming to you 5 days a week from Washington, D.C., where we interview our nation's top journalists, politicians, authors, chefs, economists, entertainers, and more. If you're looking for a contrarian discussion on news, politics, or culture, give us a listen and subscribe at PodcastOne.com, the new Podcast One app, or at Apple Podcasts.
Hey, man, before we get started with CarCast, let me tell you about Amazon Automotive. Shop auto parts, tools, accessories quickly and easily. Do it from your phone, do it from your computer, do it from your tablet. Plus, free shipping on millions of items for Prime members. Massive selections of parts, accessories, tools, fluids, even tires. This I did not know. I knew all this other stuff, like they have top brands like K&N and Bilstein, Chemical Guys, Bosch, and more, but I didn't know tires. Smart Amazon, so smart. Tired of looking up part numbers, reading catalogs with Amazon? All you need is the year, make, and model, and you're off and running. Use customer Q&A and product reviews to research and buy the right part the first time. So go to Amazon.com/autodeals. That's Amazon.com/autodeals. Start your shopping today. Amazon Automotive. All right, let's get going with the show. Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on mandate. Get it on. Welcome to CarCast. I'm Adam Carolla. It's Matt, the moderator, DeAndre over there. It's the last CarCast of the year.
Yeah. Man. Now I'm going to go in the garage and work on the car for like 5 days. I'm excited about that. I'm looking forward to that. That's like a month and a half of work.
Trying to think.
When you go in on the weekends.
Yeah, I'm trying to think about the people that don't have stuff to work on. Like,
my mom already got mad at me because I scheduled like a month ago my going out to see mom for in Arizona, and then a week ago I called her back and I changed a flight and I cut like 2 days off of it so I can come back here and work on the car. She's like, "Why are you?" I was like, "I'll be back for Barrett Jackson. Don't even. I'll be back in a month." She's like, "Okay."
You know, it's kind of interesting as I think about the people like a guy like Jimmy. Not a car guy, never works on cars, never has any interest in cars, but he'll have a bunch of little projects going all the time. Like, he'll animate stuff. Like, he'll do – I remember once a million years ago when we were talking about doing a show and maybe it'd be animated or whatever, and he just went in his garage one weekend and he made all these claymated characters. Like, he made the entire cast out of clay.
What a nerd.
Not your sort of...
like Wallace and Gromit?
Yeah, right. Not modeling clay, or not the sort of kind you fire, like kiln clay, but like the red and the yellow.
Yeah.
And he made them all, and they were perfect. And he made them all out of clay. And
there's probably some special clay for that, right? It's not like Play-Doh, but it's like some sort of special.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. I think it's like oil-based and not water-based. It doesn't get all dried out. But either way, there is that. And then the guys who work on cars.
I had no idea he could do that.
He absolutely can. And then guys who can work on houses and this and the other. But then there are a lot of people just have nothing in that department. And I don't know. I feel like I don't like those people.
Yeah.
So I actually got this email from a listener named Matt who's making a claymation studio that's an exact replica of our recording studio. I'm showing you photos of it right now.
Oh,
so that's what we got so far.
Wow.
Why? How did that just come up?
Ambitious. Wow, we never discussed claymation off the air.
Yeah.
I just got that email minutes ago, so that's kind of weird. Yeah.
We should have our 3D printer guys make 3D little models of the people. They can 3D print the people.
Yeah, I built this one of our this studio. It's funny, one of the things me and Matt and Sean were going nuts on at the other shop. Sean's kind of the perfectionist at the other shop is, but I think we had it here. The people who mask around the switch plate cover that has one screw in the middle of it.
Yeah.
They did it here. They masked around the switch plate cover.
It takes so much longer to tape around it than it would be to remove the screw.
You remove the screw and you just go right over it. And it's like you can take the car bumper off with four bolts, or you can spend a bunch of time masking off the car bumper and then paint around the car bumper, and then it never looks good, and it's actually faster to just pull the goddamn bumper off and paint the car, right?
Yeah.
It drives me insane when people mask, and if you go to our light switch in here, the guys who painted this studio, you can feel it's crusty around the switch where the paint comes, and they put the tape there. It's one goddamn screw in the middle of the goddamn plate that if you just take off with your fingernail.
A dime, anything. By the way, this is what we talk about Sundays when we get together.
Oh, Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays too. I've seen it.
No, we all come in specifically on Sundays to walk around, drink a beer, and talk about painting.
Yeah, I'll put a picture of that light switch at carcassshow.com.
It drives me berserk.
I just don't understand the logic. Somebody's like, you know what I have? I have paint and I have tape. I don't have a dime or a screwdriver.
No, everybody has a screwdriver. Every painter has a painter's tool or 4-in-1 screwdriver. Everyone has
a putty
that
knife,
thing.
Anything.
Look, you and I are exactly the same. I am bewildered and disgusted.
Like every apartment you rent in LA, the dudes just come in and they just paint over. They paint right over the outlets, and it gets paint wedged in there. They paint over all the cabinets in the kitchen with all of the hinges, and they just, you know.
Yeah, I hate seeing the doorknob with paint on it.
I'm telling you.
On the door, and there's paint on the doorknob.
The towel racks in your bathroom, they'll just paint like right around it, and it's splashed on the edge. Like, you'll rent an apartment on average here in L.A., and you know, any one of the old apartments, and they'll say freshly painted, and then you try to open up a cabinet, and it just cracks, and paint comes off the hinges. The fire marshal guy, like, if you're in your apartment for a couple of years, the fire marshal guy is supposed to come by once a year, and he inspects the place, and then he asks you a question. He's like, are any of the sinks backing up, and do any of the outlets don't work? And he walks around, and he's the guy that's like, looks at it, and he's like, is there too much paint on that outlet? Because clearly he sees a million of these things all the time, and you're like, it works, but it's not great, and he'll tell the landlord, replace it. But that's just, you just paint over everything. I don't understand why.
I get the part where it's fast and it's cheap and it's whatever. What I don't get is when you say, take the switch plate cover off, you don't have to mask it off, and then once you mask it off, you have to unmask it as well. Just take it off, roll. What you do when you're doing a switch plate and an outlet or whatever, you pull the switch plate cover off, you put a little piece of blue tape over the outlet.
Yeah.
Just a little 4-inch piece over thing. And then you just paint away.
Yeah.
And then when it's dry, you go back and put the outlet. And when you say to someone, like, why don't you do that? They go, you know, these guys are looking to save time. And it's like, it's not a time saver to mask it, paint it, and unmask it. If it is a time saver, it's 9 seconds.
Yeah.
Like, this is a lot cleaner. This is a lot better. And they're like, yeah, you know, everything's about money. Everything's about time. It's like, this is not about money and it's not about time. This is the same exact amount of calories. The amount of calories to mask off a switch plate cover and then unmask the switch plate cover versus unscrew one screw, put the thing down on the floor next to it or whatever, paint it, and then put it back. I could make an argument as to why it would be faster to do it with the one screw.
Yeah.
So it drives me. I don't mind the part where you do certain things to save money and save time. I mind the part where you have a horrible outcome and you save no money and no time.
Right.
That's what I run into a lot.
This isn't a conversation about being detail-oriented. That's a whole nother conversation. This is it, in that particular case, it's not more time. Just take the one screw out.
But
this
also,
isn't masking off your car and doing all that. Like, that's
you
details.
You people should be bugged by the when you take masking tape, you put around a switchblade cover, and then you cut it in with a brush. When you pull the masking tape off, there's going to be a weird, cruddy little place where the paint built up against the edge, and it's not going to be right. And it should bother you that it's not right. It should be sort of like, I don't know, wearing your shirt tucked in your underpants or wearing your watch outside of your sleeve or something. It should just be not right.
Not right.
And you should know that, and it should bother you. If you're not bothered by it, then God help you.
Yeah.
And the more people, like you go to Germany, it probably bothers more people there versus Mexico. And thus the country will aesthetically take on the look of who's bothered and who's not bothered.
Yeah.
You with me?
I'm with you.
All right. We got to call up here, Joshua from St. Louis. Joshua?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. How you doing?
Doing great, apart from the fact that yesterday I had to spend 5 hours taking the dashboard off of my Nissan Sentra to get a mouse nest out of the blower motor.
Mm.
Yeah.
And this was the second time in 2 years I've had to undertake this.
Have you tried cheese? They like cheese.
I would have thought that putting cheese in my cabin air filter wasn't the best call.
Probably not.
Here we are.
Well, okay. I've had this problem. You know, they like to, mice, rats, whatever, they like to eat the pad, the foam pad, the heat shield on the hood of the car.
Yeah, because they take the bits off and they make their own little nest out of it. And it's nice and comfy.
Right. So that's one of their things. Like, and I don't know how you prevent, if you park in a driveway, a critter from hopping up, getting up, climbing up, and doing that. Like, I can't think of it.
I don't know. You remember when we first started, I had that, my friend's shitty green Pathfinder that got crushed by a tree. He gave me that truck. Well, I was living in Topanga. I'd park it on the street, and, you know, the mouse or whatever would get in that thing. And I remember driving down to Santa Monica, going down Main Street past, like, the courthouse in Santa Monica. And I'm doing 35 miles an hour, and out of the cowl, the mouse pops his head up.
Wow.
And I'm like, that was a hell of a ride you just took.
Right.
So I'm probably responsible for bringing Topanga mice to Santa Monica.
Much more aggressive mouse.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they do, and they go for the warmth, and they just find their way. Like, the thing about vermin, mice, rats, all that stuff, it's like having a flat roof. It's just they always leak. It's like there's nothing you can do when they're out there.
There's so many nooks and crannies on a car for these things.
Right. And I don't know if there's a product or, they always make these things where it's, you plug this ultrasound thing into your cigarette lighter and it sends them scurrying or something. I don't think it does.
I don't know if that works.
Yeah, the most I found was some sachets that you could get online that had some sort of peppermint oil on them or something. I had no idea whether that would work or not, but
So you got the old nest out of there, right?
Yes, I did.
And you're worried.
And it was about a soccer ball size wad full of fluff that was impressive.
Is it because you were storing the car?
No, I drive it regularly. It's just sitting in my garage.
They're also the thing about the car. The car's pretty insane, like a couple things. Like, if you go out to your car and there's like a spider sitting on the fender or something, you get up and drive the car 3 miles, you get out of the car, the spider's like still there.
Yeah.
And like, I've done it where I've taken like a Nissan with a step bumper and put like my coffee mug on it or something, like drove all around town, then went around, the mug still just sitting on the bumper. I don't know how it works either, but it doesn't sufficiently get rid of rodents or spiders or coffee mugs. No. Like, you think they'd come flying off. They don't really go flying off.
I mean, you just need traps in your garage, and then hopefully when the one that lives in your vent gets hungry and wants to leave, you know.
Are you in a garage, Joshua?
I am. And actually, I do have a poison bait trap there that it's taken a couple of nibbles off of, so hopefully that'll be enough to murder it. But that doesn't help me for when the next one comes around in 2 years.
Yeah, it's weird because it seems like such a nothing thing, but it's really an unsolvable problem. What I would say is I would attempt to make my garage rodent free.
Yeah.
Versus make my car, my Nissan Sentra, did you say it was?
Yes, it is.
I would focus on making the garage rodent free other than the Sentra rodent free. Because you're never going to rodent proof the Sentra.
Look, when I lived in Topanga, the only way for me to get rid of the rodents was to move. That's how I solved that problem because there was no winning. There was no winning. All around the house, underneath the house, I'm constantly throwing out traps, and all they do is like they just make more and more and more. They don't stop.
Yeah. No, I know. You know, when you get a house, you try to seal off every single opening to the roof, everything. You'll just hear them scurrying around.
Yeah,
at night.
You hear like, them in the walls. You're like, God, this is creepy. So move. That's what I did.
You got to move.
You got to move.
Everyone's got to move. All right, what do we got coming up for the new year? You're going to Barrett Jackson.
I'm
going
to go to Barrett Jackson. Of course, you know, we all say Barrett Jackson, but also, you know, RM's going to be out there. I think they do like a Thursday, Friday auction. Gooding's got a Friday auction. So I might head out like on a Thursday or something and do like a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Barrett Jackson's a long weekend. I like to go for the last 3-4 days for the primetime thing, and see Gooding's got a Lamborghini 350 GT that we like. I want to go by and swing by and see that car. And, you know, Barrett's got a couple of interesting cars as well. And it's also a big fun social thing, you know?
Yeah.
Hanging out with Craig and Carolyn Jackson and everybody.
I wonder if they, Max Patty, you can check. I don't know if they posted any of those estimates for the Gooding and Company yet.
Up on the Gooding website, Chris, they had the listing for the Lamborghini 350, but just pictures and no prices or description yet. So if you see prices or description, let's know.
Yeah, we were. We always like to keep our eyes out for what stuff's going for, what our stuff might go for, and so on and so forth. I think we're going to be working on driving the 935 again, maybe over at just sort of parade laps over at the Porsche facility out here. We're trying to hook that up. Also,
we're trying to go to the MIDI. We're trying to work out a deal with Nissan to go to the MIDI. And I believe Bob Sharp's the Grand Marshal, and he's got sort of a theme of Sharp cars going on at the MIDI, which I've never been to. So hopefully we can work that out as well. When is that? Is that April?
I'm pretty sure it's March some reason. It could be March or April.
One of them's Amelia Island, and one of them's the MIDI.
Oh, maybe Amelia Island's March and the MIDI's April. And it's a really cool track. And it's very like big rolling green hills and stuff like that. It's beautiful.
Yeah, you're thinking about maybe bringing a car out there and doing some laps, doing a race.
It's a pretty big vintage. I would argue.
What would you want to bring? Do you think?
I would say first that I think the MIDI at Road Atlanta, if I were just to guess, would be the second largest vintage race in North America. Every year seems to get the most cars and the most attract the most folks. I think it's – I mean, I know everyone has their events every year all over the place, but and maybe Ren Sport's bigger, but I don't necessarily think of that as a vintage race. I think it's more of a Porsche gathering or something. Yeah. But I would say – no estimate yet. Thank you. So a couple things. Road Atlanta is a big, fast track, and you probably wouldn't want to go out there with a big horsepower car just sort of get used to the track because you'd be going 180 miles an hour in some environment you weren't that used to, you know. So my instinct would be to bring a Newman car, maybe even the TR6 or a 510, or something, if Bob Sharp's going to be the guy there, then like a Bob Sharp liveried car over there, but like
maybe
a B sedan.
Maybe the 200SX?
Yeah, like a 200SX, like something that Paul Newman would have driven there a lot. and being like the Bob Sharp livery, and you know, four banger, but not, you know,
maybe the 610.
Yeah, something that paid homage to Bob Sharp and Datsun, and you could run in a B sedan group, or a 2.5 Trans Am, or something like a smaller bore group,
yeah,
and have some fun on the track without getting to, you know, insane speeds.
Yeah,
that's my take, but who knows? That's my impulse. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let me tell you about Amazon. Amazon Automotive, man. You can shop for auto parts. You can shop for tools, accessories, quickly and easily from your phone, your computer, your tablet. How about that? Plus, free shipping on millions of items for Prime members. Massive selection of parts, accessories, tools, fluids, even tires. I never thought about the tires. Makes sense. Top brands like K&N, Bilstein, Bosch, more. Tired of looking up part numbers and reading catalogs with Amazon? All you need is the year, make, and model. And Bob's your uncle, man. We're off and running. You can use the customer Q&A and product reviews to research and buy the right part. Not an expert? Good. Check out Amazon's library of video content on Amazon.com/how-to-DIY and learn how to do all that stuff. You learn to install an air filter, change your oil, jump your dead battery. Amazon.com/how-to-DIY. All right, what else, man?
I've got on that Amazon thing, I've got a preset to 93 Mustang on there every time I go in. Then when I get there, it says, this part doesn't fit your car. And then I'm like, oh, now I got to modify it. Now I got to modify the part or the car. But but I have it set. You can put in your make and your model, and you can do it.
You know, the part that always drove me nuts is like when you probably knew this from working at Pep Boys at the counter all the time. Mm-hmm. When you'd go in there and you go, I need wiper blades for a 84 Nissan pickup truck. Stick or automatic?
Yeah.
I'd go
with or without air.
I don't. Just the blades are good. Stick or automatic? I got to look this one up. And I'm like, I don't know. Stick-o-matic? Just whatever blades they got there, the ones I'll be taking. Okay.
Oddly enough, my generation.
Yeah, is that got air? Or is it no air? I'd be like, it's a wiper blades. Air or no air? Like, they don't have to find out whether it was, and I'd always kind of think, like, what difference does
it... What difference does it make?
Right. They could never figure that out. They still... You still had to go through the
but
part.
But here's the thing. You don't need to ask those questions.
Is it the four-cylinder or the V6? You're like, it's windshield wiper blades.
That's the thing, is the guy in front of the computer doesn't need to ask the questions. He can just make decisions on his own and go, oh, you got... You know, you need wipers for your Prius? No problem. Tell me what your Prius, and then I can take it from there. I pretty much can, you know, does it have air or not? Who cares? I'm just going to click yes, you know, and I'll get you what you need. Like, I don't need to ask you all of those questions. I don't know why. I felt like when I worked at Pep Boys, like that generation of people that worked, that was the last of people that worked at stores like that because they were car guys. They were like young guys and they wanted discounts on parts and discounts in the service center. And now people, like, I go into the Pep Boys, but the AutoZone and all these stores. And you're right. These guys, they just don't know anything.
They just don't know.
I miss the, like, going to the parts counter and talking to the guy and be like, oh, I'm having a problem with this, and what do you think the timing is, and the guy giving you some advice and going, yeah, it's kind of like going to the Apple Care and asking them, and they have answers, right? Yeah, not the auto parts stores anymore. You have to go online to get answers, and then you go to the auto parts store, right? Or you just go to Amazon and buy the parts like I do.
That's the better safer plan. So you got all the auctions coming up in Phoenix or
in Scottsdale.
Scottsdale.
Yeah.
It's all the same. And then and the Scottsdale's a little more focus on the American and the muscle, but there's plenty of high dollar stuff going off at the RMs and the Goodings and that kind of stuff.
Well, you know, even on the American stuff, I think we saw that Barrett Jackson's going to have two pretty good cars. They're going to have like the winningest 65 Shelby GT350R race car, the winningest one.
I think they That's made cool. like 34
yeah,
of
some
those.
31, 33.
I think it's 34 for some reason. So in the GT 350 department. It starts with the R.
Yeah.
Then it goes to the 65, 66 carryovers, I think. Like,
well, the 65 R, but then there's the non-R, which is also the cool car, the GT350. Which...
No, I believe you me. I'm aware of this. I think in the power rankings,
okay.
I think the R is definitely the top.
Okay.
Then it goes into the carryover, which is between the 65 and 66, where I think they made the least amount of those. Then it goes 65, which are more valuable than the 66. And then after 66, it just kind of becomes Shelby plastic
kind of
stuff,
off Dearborn. A little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, you know what's an interesting thing, Max Pata? I think it's something like in the 65s, they made like, oh, I don't know, 350 units or 400 or 500 units or something like that. And then they made like 2,000 or more of the 66. They made like Rent-A-Racers and they made the other ones. But the question is the carryover.
Yeah.
How many of those make? Because I feel like they made less of those and thus maybe they're more valuable than the 65s. 65 was considered the pure car, whereas the racer car, whereas the 66 started to turn into a little bit of production.
Yeah, I was just trying to look it up real quick on the phone. But now when you type in Shelby GT350, all the new ones come up, which I love that car, but that's not what I was looking for, and it's just going to take too long. So anyway, they're going to have the race car there, the R, at the auction, and then on the street car, the GT350, the 65, they're going to have the very first one, like whatever, the prototype one.
Right.
So they're going to have the cool street car and the cool race car. I don't know if it's from the same collection or the same person or whatever, but it's some pretty interesting cars to see. When you get into the American cars that I think you'd be interested in, the race car one looks like it's got a lot of good history and stories and, you know, on those tires and the dings and everything else into it. So should be cool.
Yeah, there's a lot of race cars that are going to be dominating these auctions. They have some pretty historic stuff. There's that Jag, I think, like the D-Type, you know, whatever, 50s. There's going to be a lot of cars.
I was going to ask you, what did you see on your list? I know you usually like to check out the auctions a little bit ahead of time and, you know, I didn't give a call and be like, hey, swing by and just take a look at that car, check at the condition of that car, because we do a lot of, you know, I don't know what you want to call it, almost like bench racing for the auctions. You know, if you want to go see that Lamborghini 350, get the quality of it, see what it looked like, does it sell, and what does that do for the market? But I know you've had your eye on at least a couple of cars.
Well, I'm always interested in what the race cars are doing, because we have a lot of race cars, and the race car market is a very interesting one because it didn't really exist in the past. That if you wanted to buy a collector car, they're called collector cars.
Yeah.
If you want to buy a race car, it's a race car. It's not a collector car. And now the race cars have surpassed the collector cars in terms of the big dollar sales crown jewel that goes in every vintage or every auction on every big major weekend, Amelia Island or Phoenix or Pebble Beach or whatever. It's always a race car now.
Yeah.
Didn't used to be that way. It'd be a Duesenberg.
Yeah.
They're owned by the Shaw of something.
I mean, even now you look at like, you know, a Ferrari, you know, 250 GT California, and then you look at the competition one and you're like, wow, that's almost how many millions of dollars more money because of the race car of it,
right?
You know, but back in the day. But this is what one of the things that you and I are very attracted to is the race cars, because one, they always come with good stories. I mean, the better the story, the more valuable it is, you know. And two, they're all pretty much one of one, right? They're super rare. If you buy this particular, you know, there's some of the cars, there's 7 or 8 chassis made, but each one of those chassis has its own story. This is the one that won, you know, at Sebring or won at Daytona or something, won at Le Mans or whatever. And I think that's what's making the cars more special now than anything. So anybody looking to buy some cool collector cars or something like that, I think the story is adding a lot to the value and the future value of the car.
Well, we're also had our eye. One of the things we had our eye on. Did you find anything, Max Banner, or are you not looking?
I'm looking, but it's hard because Matt said the 350. Everyone is just posting the new one now. But I did. All I know is that the I think a year ago I was expected to go for $1 million. The GT 350R, and there are only 36 of those made.
Oh, 36. Damn, I said 34. Knew it was an even number. All right, your job is to find out how many 1965 GT350 carryovers they made versus 1965 GT350s. Put the date in first. It'll help with the 350 math, right?
Yeah.
So there's also what we think is the most expensive car, Ferrari, whatever, is going to go at auction in what, February in Europe? Was that that? Remember, I don't know how much we talked about that on the air. I know we talked about it a little bit off the air.
Yeah.
I found a article or a news online, whatever, that talked about, you know, possibly like the most expensive Ferrari selling. We remember being down on the beach on the lawn talking to Bruce Kenapa about the most expensive Ferrari, and he was kind of pointing at a 250 LM that he said was $80 million bucks or something of that nature. And then we found out that that car is coming up for sale. And, of course, they don't really have a number. They're just sort of the most ever. But according to Bruce, that somebody turned down $80 million bucks. So it's going to set some kind of record, I'm guessing. Now, that was February, and that was Europe, and I don't remember much more about it.
And up to date, though, the most expensive one was
252 carryovers. So they must have done more just 65 GT350s. We'll figure that out. Yes, go ahead.
Up to this date, what we know was the 62 Ferrari 250 GTO, which sold at Bonhams for $34.65 million, but that was in 2014.
Right.
So now we've really jumped to a whole new
strata. And that car was a car. See if you can find it. It's going in Europe. It's going in 2018, and it's going in February, as far as I can tell. Amazon Automotive. That's what I'll tell you right now, man. Parts, tools, accessories. Quickly, easily, get it right off your computer, your tablet, your smartphone. Why not? Plus, free shipping on millions of items for Prime members. Massive selection of parts, accessories, tools, fluids, even tires. Did not know about the tire part. I'm going there now looking for tires. They got brands like K&N, Bilstein, Chemical Guys, Bosch, more. Tired of looking up part numbers and reading catalogs with the Amazon? All you need this year is the make and the model, and that's it. Put the year, the make, and the model, and all your parts will start popping up. Use the customer Q&A, product reviews, and research to make sure you find the right part. Amazon can help you research your next vehicle purchase as well. So just check out Amazon.com/vehicles. Amazon.com/vehicles. You find reviews, specs, images, more, and thousands of new and classic cars all there. Amazon.com/vehicles. Did you find out anything about that 250?
On my phone here, I'm not finding
it. Well, Max Pat is going to have to find it on his
phone.
Now
it's just not loading.
That's all right.
Yeah.
There's a auction coming up.
Is it like Art Curiel? Is it one of theirs?
I've got one here that says February. February 2018 in Paris, a Le Mans winning 24-hour Ferrari 275P.
No, this be a 250.
Okay.
Well, Le Mans winning is about right. The 275P, that's not coming up, is it? It didn't already happen.
This says February 2018 could be a date etched into the automotive annals with a 275 prototype crosses the auction block with record-breaking history potential.
Oh, yeah, well, that could be it, but I'm not sure why it's a 275. I thought it was a 250.
Well, the previous one was the 250.
No, not the previous record. That's a 250. We're looking at a picture of a 250, or Gary had a picture of a 250 up there. Well, maybe it's what I think is a 250, because that is a 250, but maybe this is the next generation or
whose
something.
Whose auction was that, by the way? Did it say what auction it was going up at? I don't know who's doing the European auction in February.
This says, let's see. It says the Ferrari has emerged from the Bardonon collection and that it's going up in Paris. Circuit de la Sarthe.
Hmm.
No, sorry. Sorry, that's... Let me read here.
All right. The reason for the confusion is I believe it's the last Ferrari to win Le Mans outright, or production Ferrari to win Le Mans outright.
That's right. Yeah, we did have that conversation.
And I don't know, I don't know quite enough about Le Mans, but has Ferrari even won in the last 40 years? They did all their winning, yeah. And now they're right. Like, but this is the last, I think, Ferrari to win just outright. And I'm not sure if it's the last production or factory or whatever. But
yeah.
the 250 is what it looks like. It's an open cockpit, mid-engine V8 car. But they probably labeled it the 275P or something. This one for the next year, whatever it was.
Right.
And that's why when I was on the beach and you were on the beach, we're on the Pebble Beach, and Bruce kind of pointed at one. He was pointing at a 250 in my mind.
Yeah.
In his mind, he's pointing at a 275P, which looks the same as a 250.
Yeah.
So, but.
Yeah, because you said, not this one? He's like, no, that one. And they were similar. And he was like,
No. You, for a guy who doesn't smoke pot, man.
We were standing next to him, and you're like, is this the most expensive one?
We were looking at a Testarossa, like a pontoon something. We're looking at a Testarossa, like from the 50s. And I said, what's this thing, $40 million? And
right.
Of course, he did the 45. If I said 45, he was at 50.
Yeah,
so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
But I said, what is this, 40, 45 or something? He went like 50. And then I went, oh, is this one the most expensive one out here? Now, don't look anything like a 250. That's why I'm crapping on your point. He said, no, not this one, that one. And he pointed at the 250. And I said, well, considering these cars are 40 and 250s are 15 or 17, why is that one more expensive than this one?
Okay.
And he said, that's the last one to ever win
Le
Mans outright.
I heard that part.
And so I was like, oh, a 250 is the last one, but it's a 275. It's the same architecture, same car. That's at Retro Mobile 2018 in Paris. Yeah, so one in 1694, so says Gary on this one. Magellan was driving it. I guess it won in 1964, probably.
That's all right, because we had Steve
Ponce
Salinas.
De Leon did the second shift in the vehicle.
Steve Salinas was in last week, and he's talking about his press release on the Salinas S7 Le Mans edition car, and the press release says the car, they're making seven, you can buy it for $1 billion. they had too many zeros in there. I was like, it's $1 billion. I was like, God, they're really going for the profit on this one.
Yeah, so the car won outright, I guess, in 1964. And then the question is did Ferrari win outright since 1964? Because it may not have. I don't know.
I've copied the line from the article here. It says this car won in 1964, the last time the factory team would stand atop the podium.
The factory team. Okay, so that's why it is the most expensive Ferrari. And according to our sources, we could go well over $50 million here, which is fine with me because we have a car that was on top of the podium or one level down.
Yeah.
So, but won its class. So we'll take whatever prices they can get for Le Mans cars.
Anything at this point that's pulling good money and was at Le Mans, we love that. I mean, we were talking about last year, Monterey, RM had all the Aston Martins out there.
Wait, Gary, when is that auction? That I know it's February in Paris. I don't know when, but it's kind of fun. It's kind of a fun little. It's a kind of a second part of the hobby, which is it's like the house on the corner is up for sale, And it's got an extra 1,000 square feet off over your house, but you're still rooting for it because it's like however much that can go for February 7th through the 11th, so says Gary. So that'll be an interesting thing. So, yeah, it's fun to cheer those cars on or watches on or whatever on. You got any business there, Matt?
Yeah. Let's talk about Geico. You know, everybody's got a to-do list. You're dropping off your dry cleaning. You're picking up some milk. Now you can add saving hundreds of dollars of car insurance on that list. You don't have to drop off or pick up anything. You just go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. So if you need some extra money in your pocket, like I do when I'm getting my car parts and my Christmas gifts and all that stuff, well, this is the most rewarding to-do you can do today. Just go to geico.com.
There you go, geico.com. All right. You want to check out Chassis, CHASSY.com, and check out the 24-Hour War and the Winning Life of Paul Newman and Roy Winning and all that kind of stuff. And we got Basic Cable Commentary coming up at the Improv January 25th. Cobra will be the movie. And Corolla Drinks. I had a Lynette over there. Lots of specials with 33. We got new wine and Mangria and all that stuff. And then we got Shift and Steer.
Thank you.
Over here with Matt. You can listen on Podcast One. And thanks for the year, guys. We do appreciate it. We'll see you back early 2018. Until next time, Adam Kroll from Matt the Motorator DeAndrea saying keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wind.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.